This morning's Bible reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, reading verses 14 to 20. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him.
Well, good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Rowan. And this is the first time I've used this here, so we'll see how we go. So, I was thinking about what I might do to introduce my sermon, and when I saw what my friend over here had, an oven, loaves of bread, cappuccino machines, I thought, can't top that, so I think I'll just be a bit boring today. So let's pray. Father, I pray that in these next few moments that the words that I speak and the words we hear will be yours, empowered by your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Saviour. Amen. Well, I was thinking about family businesses, and in particular, the thing about family businesses in times past is that family businesses would get handed down from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next. Family businesses now usually don't last a generation, let alone get handed down. But in our reading from Mark's Gospel this morning, we read about a family business, the Zebedee family business. And we've got no idea how many generations his family have been fishing on the Sea of Galilee. But it's reasonable to assume that it's been many generations, because in the culture of the time, the family business would have been handed down from one generation to the next. So Zebedee's just the recipient of his great, and so it goes on, grandfather's hard work. The benefit of working in a family business is that you grow up knowing that you've got the security of a job and it's guaranteed. So you don't have to go looking for work, you've got a job. And fishing's a pretty normal sort of business to be involved in. There's always going to be fish, usually, and there's always going to be people wanting to eat it. So that's great. So we read in Mark's Gospel about this family business that's going on. But we also read that Jesus suddenly turns up and he tells James and John and their neighbours Peter and Andrew to drop what they're doing and follow him. And they did. We can lose the impact and understanding of how amazing that decision was, right? For a couple of reasons. One is, we're not in that first century culture. The second is, we know the end of the story. We don't know what it would have been like for them. So I want you to come back and jump in the Doctor Who's time machine with me, spin back in time over a couple of thousand years, a couple of millennia, and we'll end up back in first century BC or AD. I want you to think about the sort of life that Peter and James and Andrew and John have lived up until the time Jesus turns up. To think about the fact that they were being called into an unknown future. They had no idea how this was going to turn out. If we start to think like that, we can start to get a bit of a handle on what's really going on in these seven verses. If you want to follow along, I'm going to mainly be looking at verses 16 and 17 in Mark chapter 1. So if you want to have a look at that, verse 16, 17, as Jesus passes along the Sea of Galilee, he sees Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into a lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus says to them, follow me and I will make you fish for people. Mark tells us this story with a couple of Old Testament pictures in mind. We miss them because we don't know our Old Testaments that well. We also miss them because we're not Jewish and that's all we're focusing on. But I want you to think about an Old Testament Jew, a person who knew their Old Testaments well, would listen to this story and hear the echo of two Old Testament stories. The first one is the come follow me call of Jesus. And it sounds an awful lot like the words of Elijah in 1 Kings 18. The story of 1 Kings 18 is the people of Israel had gone off and were doing their thing. They were worshipping this false god called Baal, which was a really awful god. And Elijah turns up and says to the prophets of Baal, I want you to build a big pile of big sacrificial pile on the top of Mount Carmel. I'll do the same. So the prophets of Baal build up this big sacrificial pyre. Elijah does the same. And for 12 hours or something, the prophets of Baal are running around calling out to God, because calling out there to their god Baal, because Elijah has challenged them that if their god is the real god, let him light the fire without any matches. It's a pretty tall order. So they're running around doing their thing, and Elijah's sitting there going, maybe Baal's having a bit of a sleep. Maybe he's gone for a visit to the toilet. You know, maybe he's not listening to you. And they're getting really, really worked up. Well, we know the story. The prophets of Baal doesn't happen for them. Elijah makes it really difficult for God. He digs this trench around the sacrifice pile of wood. And he pours water on it, on the wood. And he keeps pouring more water on the wood until the wood is so soaked that the trench around the sacrifice pile of wood is full of water. And then God sends down the fire and burns up the wood pile. And Elijah then turns to the people of Israel and says, if Yahweh is God, follow him. If Yahweh is God, follow him. And Jesus uses the same words. And we know that he is God. And Elijah says, follow, if Yahweh is God, follow him. Jesus says, follow me. In effect, God is calling these people to follow him. The second story from the Old Testament that a Jewish reader would have thought about as they read Mark's gospel would have been the story of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And God says to Abraham, leave your country and your father's house and go to the land that I'm going to show you. Abraham did what he was told, and he went where he was sent. And here now in Mark chapter 1, Jesus calls these four fishermen to leave their country, to leave their father's house, and to go with him as he inaugurates the kingdom of God. So again, there's echoes in the Old Testament of these words that Jesus is saying. And Jesus is making a really powerful claim to say, I am God, follow me. But he's also saying, come on this journey to the new kingdom. You need to leave everything that you've known. You need to give up your job security. You need to give up family. And remember, family solidarity is really important in this culture. And you need to follow me. Now, when Jesus called these fishermen, the story could have had a really different ending. Peter and James and John could have said, well, we need to think about this. There are some pros and cons about this decision we could make. On the one hand, this would be great, this would be fantastic. On the other hand, this would not be so good. Maybe we should talk over with our families, check in with the wives, see what the neighbours think. I mean, we didn't hear Andrew and Simon say to Jesus, fish for people. Where's your net? James and John's father could have shouted after them, what do you think you're doing? This boat is going to be yours one day. All you have to do is put in your time, then when I retire, it's all yours. And don't leave me with these unreliable hired workers. They're just really bad. Just go. Don't go. Please, please. You owe me. I've bought you up. I've prepared you to take over the business. Or the four fishermen could have come back to Jesus and said, well, can we think about it a bit longer? Let's have a bit more time. Yeah, maybe something better will come along. You know, it's a bit like on Facebook, you know, and someone invites you to a party and you click maybe, because that means you're not really sure you want to come and you want to see if you get a better offer before you decide to go. If you click no, that means you're definitely not going. If you click yes, you're still waiting for a better offer, but you're a bit more polite. Well, none of this stuff. These four fishermen don't even say, oh, look, maybe this really big school of fish is going to turn up and we won't be able to leave. Maybe the wives will get really angry and they'll stop us. You know, maybe our friends are going to make fun of us for leaving our jobs and following this crazy guy around the countryside, and he's preaching the time's fulfilled and the kingdom of God is near, and repent and believe the gospel. Like, what's going on? No. We don't hear any of those words or see any of those actions from Peter and James and John and Andrew. They don't question Jesus' call. They don't consult their families. They don't wait to see if something better comes along. They just follow Jesus. They leave their nets, the symbol of their jobs. James and John leave their father, their family connection, to follow Jesus. These four guys are fishermen. So when Jesus says in verse 17 of Mark chapter 1, follow me and I will make you fish for people, they know exactly what he's meaning, because he's speaking their language. So Jesus is in the process of gathering together a group of followers around him that he's going to send out. And we'll see over the next few weeks, as we look at Luke chapter 10, that Jesus isn't a solo performer. He's decided that he's not going to inaugurate the kingdom of God as a solo performer. He's going to do it with others. He's going to call other people to join him in the work, to be his representatives, both now and later, after the resurrection, when he leaves and ascends to the Father. He's going to involve other people in the work of the kingdom. So Jesus calls the fishermen to repent and believe in the good news. So what does he mean? Well, you might know that repent means to turn away from the direction you're heading and head off in some other direction. Change course. It's a bit like watching a yacht or a sailboat or a boat on the ocean going in one direction, all of a sudden change the direction. It's really obvious. The word believe doesn't mean to agree in your head in the Bible. In the Bible, the word believe means something really different. It actually means to be really excited and to take into your whole life, take into your heart, let it take over your whole life, the good news that the kingdom of God is near and is going to come soon. That's what to believe means. Doesn't mean to think, that's a great idea. That's a wonderful idea. I can really think that, I can really agree with that. Or I feel like that's fantastic. To believe actually means to let it go inside and take control. A bit like the yeast. The yeast is going to come right in and change everything there. The Jewish people at the time of Jesus have put their faith in many different things. Their ancestry. They're really proud to be step descendants of Abraham. They're proud of their land. They're proud of their temple. They're proud of their strict adherence to the ritual laws of the Torah. But now Jesus is coming to Galilee and he's calling Israel to repent, to change direction. He's calling Israel to believe, to offer their loyalty to the coming kingdom of God. Israel's been waiting a long time for the kingdom to be inaugurated. And now Jesus has come and he's announcing the good news that God's on the move. Some of you, many of you, might have seen or read The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And there's this great passage in the Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe where they say, Aslan is on the move. And when Aslan's on the move, what it does is changes the whole character and nature and understanding of what's happening in Narnia. There's hope, there's excitement, there's something to look forward to, the bad things are going, they're like, this is what Jesus is announcing. When we think God is on the move, think Narnia. Or when you read Narnia, think Jesus' call of the disciples, because that's what it's about. This is good news. They need to respond now. So the good news about this coming kingdom that said Jesus is that God's going to rule history in a new and a perfect way. He's going to set things right. He's going to bring healing. He's going to correct injustices. He's going to establish peace. People are going to be able to see with their own eyes that God is king. So what's the coronation of this king look like? Well, the coronation happens at the crucifixion of Jesus, the King of the Jews. His crown is made of thorns. The throne of his kingdom is the cross. That's when the kingdom of God takes off. So just as Jesus called out Peter and Andrew and James and John over 2,000 years ago, he's now calling out the same message to us, to repent, to believe the good news. He's inviting us to share the work with him. Just as the Father's called Abraham and the Son's called the fisherman, Jesus is calling us to follow him, to go out and fish for people with the good news that the kingdom's come. And just like the disciples, we're going to go on an adventure. They had no idea where they were going and what would happen. And in a sense, we have no idea and what will happen in our lives. But like the disciples, we have a hope. And the hope is the kingdom. That's our hope. So when we go, when we hear the call of Jesus, when we leave things behind and follow him, we leave on this adventure. It's a mixed adventure filled with a mixture of misunderstandings, of excitement, of failures, of joy, of sufferings and celebrations. And above all, it's hope that God rules. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for sending your Son to announce the coming of your kingdom. We pray that you'd make us ready to hear his call, to turn away from our sins, to believe his good news, and to share the good news of that salvation with all that we meet. Amen.